afternoon, St. Louis, DGS on KMOX. Happy Thursday to you, right? Right? Yes? Good? Good start.
Yep. The only way I know that is because there's college basketball on.
That's right. That's right. It's a weird day. Rach is sick, so she's out. And doors are coming off planes. And
again?
No, just in general.
Generally speaking.
And I'm like trying to, it's just been a weird day. I had a value cheeseburger out of the machine.
No kidding.
Sometimes they hit, sometimes they don't.
Is it like the one at the gas stations? Like the 7-Eleven?
Worse.
Yeah, worse.
Okay.
We have a lower echelon of that.
I'll be honest. When I was a kid, I didn't mind those.
No. I don't mind. Look, yeah. I mean, the law school, the Lancashire sandwiches and things like that.
Yes.
I have no problem with it. This one didn't hit. I think there's a toenail in it. And then it got real weird because Rach is out. So that means that Andrew is Rachel and he's running the board. And he was putting all my stuff down and he was reaching his arm like in a weird way. And I noticed for the first time in 13 years that Andrew has baby arms. And it just is really...
Yeah.
Like soft.
They're short?
Or short.
You know what a baby's arm looks like?
Yeah. Yeah.
That.
Like rolls?
Well, and rolls I had to.
No hair?
Come on.
Look at babies.
Damn.
Your babies have rolls.
Did you, for the love of God? Yeah,
arm.
No, I did hear that, Kevin.
Oh, my God.
What? I don't. He's Glover. Dave Glover is the one that said, Andrew has baby
Amy,
arms.
Give me the dagger.
She's becoming a menace.
Becoming?
Right?
No, she's always been. You're just now discovering it.
Just having some fun about baby arms and
because of the fat rolls, yeah.
Dude, that's what she said.
Well,
yeah,
no.
She's like the Terminator. She like in her brain, she goes baby arms, rolls, go rolls.
I call them Buddha arms personally, but
you don't have rolls on your forearms.
I think that was a compliment.
That's the closest she can get.
I think she just calls you hot. Yeah.
That's the closest she can muster to a nice thing to say.
Yeah, the part between your wrist and your forearm, that's fine.
You know, your thumb? You don't have any fat rolls on your thumb, I don't think.
He was, like, in an awkward position, and I said, you have baby arms. He goes, I know.
Well, because so the way that I was moving, I had to pull shoulder up and back,
then
I had to, like, straighten arm all the way out. And Dave's like, why is your arm like 4 inches long?
And I'm like, it does look like a baby arm when you do that.
And I was moving it like this. Like a way a baby moves before it has motor control.
Now you see it, right?
Yeah.
Now you see it.
It is. Yeah.
Now you won't be able to not see it.
And Dave was like, you have baby arm. And I go, I know.
I know. I thought I might have been dreaming. I was like, okay, you'll tell this one on the show tomorrow. And I'm like, nope, it's the show. This is really happening.
Poor Andrew. Aww. I can't believe Amy said that to you.
Yeah, it was hurtful.
I'm sorry.
Dave said, what does a baby arm look like? Well, it's got rolls. Rough. Like you can't see the elbow.
You mean like fatty? Like the,
like the Michelin man?
Don't make it worse. She's
Wheeler is really
like the Pillsbury Doughboy.
He's struggling with this. Man. He's struggling with the new Amy.
No, it's not the new Amy.
This is Amy Classic.
This has been the gradually becoming Amy.
No.
2 years ago, Amy was not like
this. Yes, she was.
She was not.
You're just now discovering it.
No, I think it's just exposure to all of us on a day-to-day basis.
No. Don't blame us for her behavior.
You guys say something like, oh, you have a baby arm. Picture a baby.
You guys got to stop saying that.
Yeah, because that's a different term for something completely.
Yeah, that's got a different meaning, man. Every time I'm like, you got to stop saying that.
Wait, he said it. I don't even understand.
I know you don't understand it, but.
It makes the rolls things worse.
Yes, it does.
God.
Yeah.
Baby arms like a fat piece of garbage?
Dave,
No.
This is why I'm sitting here quiet because I can't say anything that's. I can't.
See, you're the bad one because I don't even know what's going on and you're just sitting there.
Yeah, sure you don't.
You mean like the arms of a guy who's had Little Caesar's pizza puffs three times in the past 4 days? You mean that kind of guy? That kind of baby?
You know what? Mason Jar always goes, how's the Glover hour? It's not good. It doesn't go well
with me. He's like, I say words and everybody yells at me.
Keep setting me up.
Yeah.
It doesn't go well for you because you're getting exposed during this hour.
Yeah.
I'm asking questions.
Oh, so you're geez. So what are you?
I'm just asking questions.
She's just the I'm asking questions guy.
I'm just asking questions.
When you say baby arm, you mean fat roly-poly, and his vacuum's nicer than his house. That's what a baby is, right?
Andrew has a Dyson vacuum.
That was kind of an upset, wasn't it? To learn that Andrew has a Dyson?
I don't know anything. Dyson is like a really nice brand. It's like the Gucci brand of
So I looked
vacuums.
Up... Well, okay, so I, this seems like a good time to bring this up. I looked up... I think I didn't check last night because I forgot, but I think I probably have a knockoff Dyson.
Oh,
a nice knockoff.
Man. Oh, so it doesn't actually say Dyson on it.
There is no way anyone in my household paid like $400 for a vacuum.
It's Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Which makes sense because sometimes he kind of sucks.
He sucks the fun out
physics
of everything.
Physics and force of vacuum.
It's a Tyson, but the chicken nugget brand.
Spelt with an I and a U instead of.
Yeah, it's a T-I-E-S-O-N. It's a Dice son.
Did you go home and check it? And you're like, God damn it.
Well, I looked up.
I don't even have a Dyson.
I looked up Dysons online because Amy was like, they're prohibitively. And I thought, I'm pretty sure we paid like 100.
Prohibitively expensive.
Like 100 bucks, 150 bucks. So I went and I looked it up, and Dysons are like $450.
Yeah, that's why Amy reacted the way she did.
We were all very impressed.
There's absolutely no way I spent that kind of money on this thing.
Because here's what I know about Dyson. Like, the vacuum cleaners are really expensive, and then it came out with that hair dryer. That's like $800 for this hair dryer. And, I mean, I have a Conair. Like,
me too.
A 1999
It's the brand
Conair.
Of choice.
It's the brand of choice.
1999 movie starring Nicolas Cage.
Mm-hmm. Mine came with a comb.
Oh, like the little claw thing?
Or a comb, yeah.
Yeah, a comb. Like a comb. Like a I know what Amy's saying. It's the thing that goes
the
on
diffuser.
The all right.
Yeah, oh, you mean diffuser. A fat? You mean a fat guy claw for your hair? Yeah. Got it. Got it. Oh, my chair just broke.
Oh, no.
That is not helping.
They were just like arms going, whoa.
Baby arms.
You are not helpful, chair.
That's like a shallow how. Like,
in the middle of the...
breaks the chair.
In the middle of... Amy.
Mid Amy fat shame segment.
Absolutely.
My chair snaps.
That could not have gone better.
No. Well,
and I am sent reeling like Vince McMahon.
Yeah, at least
in that
you
meme.
Were able to control it, though. It was not a uncontrolled demolition.
My feet are straight up in the air, and you can see my funny colored socks.
The eyeballs were like,
I've never actually witnessed.
Somebody get the vacuum.
I don't think I've ever witnessed a person breaking a chair.
Did you guys hear it?
Certainly not well to in a fat guy joke.
Did you hear the
did we hear it?
Spring snap?
We felt it.
It's.
I think the spring put a hole in the wall.
Awesome.
Steve Moore better issue us all goblins.
Dude.
Andrew had the cartoon eyes. They went, wah!
You broke the hydraulic part of the chair?
I broke the back hydraulic part.
Oh man.
Dude. Oh, the back support?
I guess. I don't know. What
don't lean back.
look at how I'm sitting right now with my knees and my chest.
I got it. So babies are fat, and I'm fat, and whoa!
Oh, yeah. If there is a God, he's up there listening to this conversation. He goes, watch this. Watch what I'm about to
pretty
do.
Pretty good evidence.
Can you imagine? I just imagine like the flick of the finger. Just,
I like the idea that God's on the side of the fat shamer.
Yeah.
God's like, I'll teach you to speak out.
Well, who do you think he's on? Team Andrew or Team Amy?
Come on.
Amy's got the direct line.
Yeah. She's got the pamphlet.
She might have texted him. He's said, like, dude, help me out.
It's like, hey, Moses. She didn't know what this baby arm thing means. Not the fat guy down.
Do I have to, like,
change the subject?
Do I have to, like, look it up on Urban Dictionary?
Yeah, because I
don't do it on the work computer.
I am absolutely not explaining to you what it
no,
is.
No, I'm not either.
No.
You find out on your own.
I mean, honest to goodness, I had no idea. I mean, that's why everything can be bad. You can make everything bad. That's how you feel.
Who do we want to get in trouble around here? Ethan, explain to Amy.
No.
What? No.
Amy, you have to look it up on a device that is owned by you.
I'm catching the drift. I'm just saying.
Don't look it up on a work device.
Anything can be bad. You go like,
oh. Oh, it's breaking more.
Andrew is lower. I can't see Andrew's head anymore.
No, Andrew's going to be like, he's going to be like riding a chopper as he's running the board.
Everybody make fun of the fat guy.
Kevin, can you see the chair? Does it look crazy?
Yes.
It doesn't look that crazy, but it's way low.
Because it's like a normal chair is like this. This one's like
you better
this
get out that diffuser.
It is listing
I can
a little
only
bit.
See your hair.
I'll tell you what. Just a little.
I'll tell you what. I will go out into the office and see if I can find you a replacement, but only if I could tell people why. If I could tell the office
that's
why fair. I'm looking for a chair.
Don't say that's fair.
That's fair. I think it's. Thank you, Dave. I'm going
to
do
He's
that.
He's about to take one from Stuart. He's going to knock Stuart out of his chair.
We're just taking all of Stuart's stuff and moving it in here.
Need a chair, Stuart. Get up.
He told me the other day, he's like, you know, I want that dictionary back. And I was like, you're not getting it.
Is he telling you he uses it?
It's not his dictionary.
He said he needed it. It is his dictionary.
That dictionary's been there 100 years.
Before Stuart.
No, because that's Colleen's dictionary. He sits at Kevin Colleen's old desk is the red ratty one. That's Colleen's old dictionary.
So that's Stuart's?
That's his like personal dictionary from his library.
He's got a phone and a computer,
that
right?
That is a big dictionary.
That's from the Stuart Congressional Library.
I saw it.
Is it?
I saw it.
All right. Well, should we start the show?
My face hurts.
Man, the drinking doesn't even start till 2.
Laughing.
No, man. No, I'm sweating. Let's,
I know it's really warm hurt. In here.
Let's take a break. Here comes the work comp.
He's like, oh, my neck.
Gonna need a couple weeks off.
I'm gonna go find you a chair. Hit jealousy. Hit jealousy. You can trust me not to think and not to sleep around.
All right, 121. Catch up here if you missed that first segment. Amy was in the middle of fat shaming Andrew.
Yes, she was.
He was defending himself, and his chair broke under his weight. And
under the weight is strong.
It's the back. It's
accumulated.
Remember when you accused Ronge of stealing Fat Man Valor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah.
That was very funny.
During the break, I called Buffalo Bill to tell him about you breaking the chair.
Oh, no.
You know what he said?
Is he a great big fat person?
Oh. And I said, no, he's... He's not.
I'm not sure where Ronji's going with this.
That's a line from the movie.
It didn't hit the. It did, oh, okay. I was going to say. Yeah. It didn't Jesus. Hit the.
The James Gum.
Yeah.
It's a line from the movie.
The James Gum.
But.
Oh, and then on the break, we've been talking about. Like Amy makes a good point. Everything can be dirty.
Everything can
dirty.
Be bad.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah.
But she said she has a group of bad friends.
Yeah, that was the best.
She checks with.
I said something about a baby, and then they were all like, oh, that's so bad. And I'm like, everything can be bad. And I said,
do
I
you
bet
remember?
I could text my bad friends, and even they would be like,
do
I don't know.
Do your bad friends know they're
the
bad
time
friends?
That you texted me something about prostitutes?
Yeah.
And you said, you'll hang
know.
Out with skeevy people.
I texted him about strippers. I said,
well, that's what it
once
was.
Strippers show up at your party and like, and they take off their clothes. How do they leave the party? Because they can't leave the party naked. Do they go back in the bathroom and go, can I have my gym bag? Can I put my stuff back on? How do they leave
they just,
the party?
Believe it or not, the magic's over pretty quick with strippers.
Yeah. 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 It's like, all right.
So I texted Ronji.
There's not a lot of life.
On to the beer. About how
right.
How
you're not going to hang out for a while?
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So I texted Ronji, how do the strippers leave? Is it like just very like, okay, well, now you're done. And they leave. And he's like, I'm so offended that you would think that I'm the person to go to. I was like, well, you have a lot of skeevy friends. And he was all offended. He goes, well, I did. My roommate was a stripper for a while.
That's right. I did have a stripper roommate.
Yeah.
So see, I was right.
Boy, here's the thing.
Dude. It was a dude.
It's fun when Amy reveals how she actually thinks of all of us.
Uh-huh.
But it's less fun when we have to prove her right. Like it's not fun when Amy's like, so Chris, you're a scumbag, right? Yeah. And then Chris is like, well, I did used to live with a bunch of strippers. And then when she says to me, like, you're a big fat guy, right? And I'm like, excuse me, and then my chair shatters. Yeah.
So in other words, Amy,
like it's
you're not far off.
Yeah. It's all Well, it's all just, fun and games until we have to prove a rate.
Trying to make some extra money so he can earn his PhD.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You got mad at me when I observed that you guys eat Kentucky Fried Chicken every day. And I would say it would be weirder if I didn't eventually say,
here's
oh,
the thing.
Wow.
But
you don't
you
observe
don't
it, Amy. You judged it.
Here's what you here's what you don't get. Here's what you don't get. Let me try to explain this to you. Let me try to explain this because you never seem to understand why we are upset, right? You understand that we're upset. You never understand why. It's because you are, I don't know, somewhere between 10 and 15 pounds, and you go, oh, KFC. Wow, you sure eat a lot of KFC? I haven't had KFC since I was 4 years old. And I ate it on accident because I thought it was a vegetable. And it's like,
I started running and I haven't stopped.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, there's connotations behind your remarks on KFC.
I've told a lot of people that you guys eat KFC every day.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know.
I always say, like, wouldn't it be weirder if I didn't say something about it?
Well, I mean, if it wasn't in the building, it would actually be a legit question, right? But the fact that it's literally right downstairs answers the question. Why do you guys eat KFC? Because it's here.
Did you ask your scumbag friends what they think?
They're like, no, we only eat White Castle.
Out with you at the strip club.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, Andrew. I apologize. On behalf of my partner, I apologize.
This chair is making crazy noises.
I just want to be on the bad friend list.
Again.
It would be something if it just totally gives out.
It's like every time I move.
Do you think it would... You might get hurt over there.
I'm fine.
There are some sharp edges.
I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. But we wrap that up.
Good.
Well, you could stand.
I'm not worried about it.
Why are you laughing about that?
I'm not worried about the chair.
You hear how Amy laughed?
No, I didn't.
I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah, the snort laugh at the thought of me standing. No, I got it. I heard it.
Whatever.
Andrew, I'm sorry.
I got to not say that because the chair's going to break again.
She does not speak for us.
Ronj is like is a pretty rude person mm-hmm. in general, so. I don't like it when Dave is quiet.
Yeah, why are you looking at Dave for help?
Because
he's not going to help you.
And this always happens. Dave just
You're
looks
on your
at
own.
Me, and then I just can't stop talking. Uh-huh. And then I get nervous, so I start uh-huh. talking more, and Dave is like shaking his head, and I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing wrong, but I can't mm-hmm. stop talking. I hate it when he does this.
I have this thing with...
You're doing it now?
Yeah. I sit next to Dave. I have this thing where I look at him... And my eyes say, are you hearing this? And his eyes are saying, yeah, I hear it.
I do.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
I can't read what's in his eyes. It just makes me nervous. Say something!
It's hard to talk when you're laughing.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all that is.
I was not aware that I was on a team that you feel morally obligated to tell all your friends... How often we eat Kentucky Fried Chicken. I thought I was on a different team than that. I thought I was on that, oh my God, he does a lot of live endorsements. Man, the ratings. I didn't realize it.
Man, what a snazzy dresser that guy.
That right? Dave Glover eats a lot of chicken.
Man. I do talk about your live endorsements.
How did his arms get like that?
This guy does
it's every day.
More judgments than a circuit court over here, this lady. All she does is judge people.
To be fair, we bring a lot of it on ourselves.
No, we do not. Do not defend her.
I'm not defending anything. I'm just saying we're something.
It's just...
I don't think I bring any of this on myself. I'm just saying. Except for the chair, maybe.
It's like blaming a village for the volcano erupting. It's going to happen.
Hey, the people in Pompeii should have known.
Let me text Rach.
Can you come back?
When you say sick.
Like, how sick? Can you be here in 10 minutes?
What level of sick are we talking? All right. Play some music. Welcome back, guys. DGS 134. Appreciate you being with us today. With the games going on, we'll keep you updated, like on Illinois and relevant games like that. Shohei Ohtani. So the story about his interpreter being a bad dude, and someone was saying this is the biggest cheating scandal since Pete Rose. Is this a story in a week? Is this a story in 30 years? I mean, how big is it?
So we don't know entirely yet because there are investigations that are going on right now that will tell us the whole story. But I heard Jeff Passan describing it. And for those that know Jeff, you know what he's like. If you don't know him, he's not a big exaggerator. He's not the kind of person that's going to blow something up if it's not a big
really
deal.
He's really good at his job.
Yes, he's probably the best at this type of investigative stuff in the baseball world. He's not alone, but he's really
good. Evan Drellick's really good, and he's really good.
Yeah. Yep. And he described it today, I think it was on the Pat McAfee show, as a story that we're probably going to have to follow for more than a year. This is not, he said, it's not a one day or a one week or a one month, maybe not even a 1 year story, because you've got an FBI investigation going on. So this is where it comes from. There's an illegal bookmaker in Southern California who is being investigated by the FBI. And in that investigation, they found payments from Shohei Ohtani to this bookmaker. Well, as that was all coming out, Shohei's people put his interpreter, Masuhara, put him in contact with ESPN to do an interview to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So he did a 90-minute interview with Tisha Thompson, and he laid it all out. Here's how he laid it out. He said simply, look, I'm the gambler. This is his interpreter speaking.
Oh, wow.
I ran up this debt. I'm stupid. I didn't know it was illegal in California to bet on sports, because it is. That's one of the states where it's not legal yet. So he met this guy playing poker and started betting on credit and ran up $4.5 million of debt.
Wow.
Betting, he said, on soccer internationally, the NFL, college
never
football.
Baseball.
And he was very clear, never yeah. baseball. And he said, we have a meeting about that every spring training. I was in those. I know we can't. Nobody affiliated with baseball is allowed to bet on baseball at all in any terms, legally or illegally. So that was the story told to ESPN. And the next day, as ESPN's preparing to run that story, Shohei Ohtani's lawyers step in and say, no, no, no. Because the story that the interpreter gave was, I knew I was in trouble. I went to Shohei to ask for help. And being the friend that he is, he was going to bail me out. So he was going to send the money to pay off my debt. And he said, we sat there on his computer and did it together. And Shohei Ohtani, from his own account, sent this money in smaller payments, not all at once, but like $500,000 at a time, to this illegal bookmaker. His name's on it. He wasn't trying to hide it. He wasn't trying to be, you know, sneaky or anything. And that was the interpreter's story. The next day, which was yesterday, the lawyers tell ESPN, oh, no, that's all wrong. That money was stolen by the interpreter from Shohei Ohtani, and we are sending the evidence to local law enforcement. So you've got the federal investigation into the bookmaker that could turn up some form of information evidence on this, and you've got the potential local investigation for the crime of stealing the money.
Man.
And then Major League Baseball will also be doing their own investigation. So for people that don't know, baseball's rules on gambling are very strict. It goes back to the 1919 Black Sox scandal where they fixed the World Series, and that was almost the death of baseball then, and they've been very strict ever since. Nobody in baseball, nobody, no matter what your job is allowed to bet on baseball in any way, shape, or form. Hmm. But what people don't necessarily know, I think most baseball fans know that, baseball players, and I think it's true in other sports also, are not allowed to bet illegally. They are not allowed to have bookies. They are not allowed to do that at all under any circumstance. And that's where this could be an issue. Whether or not Ohtani bet, and it seems, Ron, do you agree, that it seems like people, nobody, well, I shouldn't say nobody. Nobody reporting on the story is suggesting that Ohtani is the one betting.
Right.
But the problem is just the appearance. If you're sending money to an illegal bookmaker, that's a major, major issue.
Let's back up a second. What is Ohtani admitting to? Is he admitting that he knew anything about it at all?
Well, that's the thing. Tuesday, he and his people were saying, here's the interpreter. He's going to tell you the story of what this is. And then Wednesday, they were like, nope, that's not the story.
Hmm.
Now it's this guy stole the money from Shohei Ohtani. And I heard, again, quoting Jeff Passan here, was telling a story that I think it was yesterday before all this came out, that, and it might have been in South Korea, it might have been in Korea when it happened, but some Dodgers officials came into the clubhouse with all of the players and stuff there, and they said, guys, there's going to be a story, it's going to be a story about gambling that comes up. And the guy, the translator's first name is Ipe. Hey, Ipe, would you like to expand on that? And he apologized to the clubhouse. He said, it was me. I'm the one that did this. And then it was not long after that where Ohtani's lawyers jumped in and said, that is not the story. This guy stole the money. Shohei knew nothing about that.
So it seemed to me that even if the most culpable thing Ohtani did was knowingly send the money to pay off the guy's debts, because
right,
he's a good
right,
guy,
right,
that he may not be in trouble, but it's not great.
It's a line that is real. I mean, in all fairness, just because of the appearance, he might face punishment from Major League Baseball.
Wow, man. Oh,
just
man.
Because of the appearance, like the fact that money went from him directly to an illegal bookmaker could put him in a position where he gets in trouble, where he gets some kind of punishment.
Even though he was probably just being a good friend. And my guess is that his people said, well, let's backtrack on that story for legal reasons to see if they could keep Ohtani from getting in more serious trouble.
Right.
Instead of him admitting, yeah, I was helping my friend out.
Right. Because, again, helping your friend out, that's not going to put you in trouble with the FBI. That's not going to put you in trouble with the local law enforcement.
But it might with baseball.
But with Major League Baseball, that could be enough where they're like, guys, look at our history. Pete Rose, the 1919 scandal. And we have to head a hard line, so there has to be a suspension.
I know it's all relative, but there's such a difference between $5 or $10 grand and $4 million.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just...
And
I mean, that probably is like 10 grand to you or I, but
right. That amount to him is nothing.
Is it reasonable to think then, if you go with the story that money was stolen, that the interpreter had direct access?
Well, that's the yes.
Right.
To what every account.
This is what everybody's saying now is, okay, you have a team of lawyers, you have an agent, you have all this, and your interpreter has access to your money.
Right. Right.
Like, they are buddies, by the way. I want to be clear. Yeah. Like, they're not just professional and employee.
That's how people take advantage of each other.
Those two are very close personal friends. They're together every day when they're in the United States. And that goes back to 2018 when Ohtani came here. So they've been really close friends for a long time. Mm-hmm. But again, think of it. How many people have their very closest friends with the ability to access their money?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. Which makes it more likely that the friend asked his friend, can you help me out? And the friend said yes.
It's also, I mean, he's obviously not a great guy, but when he gets caught and the interpreter's telling the story, it seems like a strange decision to tell one that's not true when you know that everyone's listening to you, including Ohtani.
Well, right. And it was Ohtani's people that put him in contact with ESPN.
Yeah.
Because what they wanted to do, I'm sure, was initially say, hey, this story's going to come out that Ohtani's money went to this illegal bookmaker.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely was going to happen. So we're going to get in front of it. We want you to explain that it was you, not Ohtani, that was gambling. So they're trying to protect Shohei, which, again, I understand. Nothing wrong with that. Makes sense. Especially if that's how it went.
Right.
But... as with all of these things, the only thing right now that would argue on the side of Ohtani is everybody's trust of him. Right? I mean, the fact that people see him as a good guy, I told Andrew this earlier, it doesn't really fit his character to be a guy that's gambling. Like, it's not his personality, maybe the better. I don't want to make it character because I don't want to make it good or bad. It doesn't seem to fit his personality.
Yeah.
Whereas, an example... it fit Michael Jordan's personality.
Oh, yeah. That
he was widely known to gamble all the time on golf, on everything else. Yeah. So it doesn't really fit anything that we know about Ohtani. But, you know, again, trying to be balanced on this, Ohtani is also a guy that does a great job of making sure we don't know that much about him. He just got married. Nobody knew.
Yep.
Right? He doesn't allow anybody
in. Very private.
He only talks like twice a year to media. So, like, people don't know a lot about him.
How big a deal is this if he does end up having some culpability, even if it's just paying off the debts to be a nice guy, and Major League Baseball sanctions him?
I mean, it's a big deal no matter what. And
at this point, there's no way it's not.
And here's part of the problem is it's already a PR issue because there are already people all over the internet going, oh, sure, your interpreter had access to your money. And we're supposed to believe that that's just this guy, the fall guy, the lackey is going to be the one that takes the blame. And I can't blame people for thinking that.
Well, real quick, here's what I don't know. Is his interpreter also serving as his manager, like his personal manager?
Because I'm aware of.
In that case, he could be handling money.
The interpreter, the interpreter is paid by the team to just interpret for him.
Well, the whole thing about, again, I'm giving maybe too much credence to this interpreter, but when he says, when his story is, we sat next to each other at his computer and did it. That's a very strange lie.
Well, and also he was asked, basically, why didn't he just give you the money? And the interpreter's answer was because he didn't trust me with it. He thought I'd go gamble it.
Which makes sense.
So he wanted to do it himself so that it would actually be done.
Yeah.
Again, all of it makes the first story makes a lot of sense. And if that was the only story, this isn't a big deal. But when you throw on top of it the very quick change from he was helping a friend to the friend stole his money.
This whole thing is not good. But just the appearance of it right now seems like no baseball was bet on.
Right.
Which to me is it's the number one thing in all of this.
Yes.
As long as the sport he plays his guy or him personally didn't gamble on it, then I'm okay. Because that Black Sox scandal, like you said, almost killed baseball.
It did.
And that is the one thing. And we talk about steroids, PEDs, yep. all this stuff. People were mad about it. That will never kill the sport.
Nope.
What will kill it is people watching it thinking players are throwing games.
Yep.
That's what would
and
kill
you know
the
who
sport.
Who played Shoeless Joe Jackson?
D.B. Sweeney.
D.B. Sweeney.
Who's going to join us in an hour
right.
and a half.
Pretty
he's going to be
weird.
Yeah, for people that don't know, D.B. Sweeney is going to be a part of the
Puck
Blues
Cancer,
alumni.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, Puck Cancer Night. So, because he was in the movie Cutting Edge.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 134. Appreciate you being with us today. With the games going on, we'll keep you updated, like on Illinois and relevant games like that. Shohei Ohtani. So the story about his interpreter being a bad dude, and someone was saying this is the biggest cheating scandal since Pete Rose. Is this a story in a week? Is this a story in 30 years? I mean, how big is it?
So we don't know entirely yet because there are investigations that are going on right now that will tell us the whole story. But I heard Jeff Passan describing it. And for those that know Jeff, you know what he's like. If you don't know him, he's not a big exaggerator. He's not the kind of person that's going to blow something up if it's not a big
really
deal.
He's really good at his job.
Yes, he's probably the best at this type of investigative stuff in the baseball world. He's not alone, but he's really
Evan
good.
Evan Drellick's really good, and he's
yeah.
really good.
Yeah. Yep. And he described it today, I think it was on the Pat McAfee show, as a story that we're probably going to have to follow for more than a year.
Oh,
like,
wow.
This is not, he said, it's not a one day or a one week or a one month, maybe not even a 1 year story, because you've got an FBI investigation going on. So this is where it comes from. There's an illegal bookmaker in Southern California who is being investigated by the FBI. And in that investigation, they found payments from Shohei Ohtani to this bookmaker. Well, as that was all coming out, Shohei's people put his interpreter, Ipe Masuhara, put him in contact with ESPN to do an interview to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So he did a 90-minute interview with Tisha Thompson, and he laid it all out. Here's how he laid it out. He said simply, look, I'm the gambler. This is his interpreter speaking.
Oh, wow.
I ran up this debt. I'm stupid. I didn't know it was illegal in California to bet on sports, because it is. That's one of the states where it's not legal yet. So he met this guy playing poker and started betting on credit and ran up $4.5 million of debt.
Wow.
Betting, he said, on soccer internationally, the NFL, college
never
football.
Baseball.
And he was very clear, never yeah. baseball. And he said, we have a meeting about that every spring training. I was in those. I know we can't. Nobody affiliated with baseball is allowed to bet on baseball at all in any terms, legally or illegally. So that was the story told to ESPN. And the next day, as ESPN's preparing to run that story, Shohei Ohtani's lawyers step in and say, no, no, no. Because the story that the interpreter gave was, I knew I was in trouble. I went to Shohei to ask for help. And being the friend that he is, he was going to bail me out. So he was going to send the money to pay off my debt. And he said, we sat there on his computer and did it together. And Shohei Ohtani, from his own account, sent this money in smaller payments, not all at once, but like $500,000 at a time, to this illegal bookmaker. His name's on it. He wasn't trying to hide it. He wasn't trying to be, you know, sneaky or anything. And that was the interpreter's story. The next day, which was yesterday, the lawyers tell ESPN, oh, no, that's all wrong. That money was stolen by the interpreter from Shohei Ohtani, and we are sending the evidence to local law enforcement. So you've got the federal investigation into the bookmaker that could turn up some form of information evidence on this, and you've got the potential local investigation for the crime of stealing the money.
Man.
And then Major League Baseball will also be doing their own investigation. So for people that don't know, baseball's rules on gambling are very strict. It goes back to the 1919 Black Sox scandal where they fixed the World Series. And that was, you know, that was almost the death of baseball then. And they've been very strict ever since. Nobody in baseball, nobody, no matter what your job is allowed to bet on baseball in any way, shape, or form.
Hmm.
But what people don't necessarily know, I think most baseball fans know that, baseball players, and I think it's true in other sports also, are not allowed to bet illegally. They are not allowed to have bookies. They are not allowed to do that at all under any circumstance. And that's where this could be an issue. Whether or not Ohtani bet, and it seems, Ron, do you agree, that seems like people, nobody, well, I shouldn't say nobody. Nobody reporting on the story is suggesting that Ohtani is the one betting.
Right.
But the problem is just the appearance. If you're sending money to an illegal bookmaker, that's a major, major issue.
Let's back up a second. What is Ohtani admitting to? Is he admitting that he knew anything about it at all?
Well, that's the thing. Tuesday, he and his people were saying, here's the interpreter. He's going to tell you the story of what this is. And then Wednesday, they were like, nope, that's not the story. Hmm. Now it's this guy stole the money from Shohei Ohtani. And I heard, again, quoting Jeff Passan here, was telling a story that I think it was yesterday before all this came out. That, and it might have been in South Korea, it might have been in Korea when it happened, but some Dodgers officials came into the clubhouse with all of the players and stuff there, and they said, guys, there's going to be a story, there's going to be a story about gambling that comes up, and the guy, the translator's first name is Ipe. Hey, Ipe, would you like to expand on that? And he apologized to the clubhouse, he said it was me, I'm the one that did this, and then it was not long after that where Ohtani's lawyers jumped in and said, that is not the story. This guy stole the money. Shohei knew nothing about that.
So it seemed to me that even if the most culpable thing Ohtani did was knowingly send the money to pay off the guy's debts, because
right,
he's a good
right,
guy,
right?
That he may not be in trouble, but it's not great.
It's a line that is real. I mean, in all fairness, just because of the appearance, he might face punishment from Major League Baseball.
Wow. Man, oh
just
man.
Because of the appearance, like the fact that money went from him directly to an illegal bookmaker could put him in a position where he gets in trouble, where he gets some kind of punishment.
Even though he was probably just being a good friend. And my guess is that his people said, well, let's backtrack on that story for legal reasons to see if they could keep Ohtani from getting in more serious trouble.
Right.
Instead of him admitting, yeah, I was helping my friend out.
Right, because, again, helping your friend out, that's not going to put you in trouble with the FBI. That's not going to put you in trouble with the local law enforcement.
But it might with baseball.
But with Major League Baseball, that could be enough where they're like, guys, look at our history, Pete Rose, the 1919 scandal. And we have to head a hard line, so there has to be a suspension.
I know it's all relative, but there's such a difference between $5 or $10 grand and $4 million.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just...
And
I mean, that probably is like 10 grand to you or I, but
right. That amount to him is nothing.
Is it reasonable to think then, if you go with the story that money was stolen, that the interpreter had direct access?
Well, that's the yes.
Right.
That's what every account.
This is what everybody's saying now is, okay, you have a team of lawyers, you have an agent, you have all this, and your interpreter has access to your money.
Right. Right.
Like, they are buddies, by the way. I want to be clear. Yeah. Like, they're not just professional and employee.
That's how people take advantage of each other.
Those two are very close personal friends. They're together every day when they're in the United States. And that goes back to 2018 when Ohtani came here. So they've been really close friends for a long time. Mm-hmm. But again, think of it. How many people have their very closest friends with the ability to access their money?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. Which makes it more likely that the friend asked his friend, can you help me out? And the friend said yes.
It's also, I mean, he's obviously not a great guy, but when he gets caught and the interpreter's telling the story, it seems like a strange decision to tell one that's not true when you know that everyone's listening to you, including Ohtani.
Well, right. And it was Ohtani's people that put him in contact with ESPN.
Yeah.
Because what they wanted to do, I'm sure, was initially say, hey, this story's going to come out that Ohtani's money went to this illegal bookmaker.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely was going to happen. So we're going to get in front of it. We want you to explain that it was you, not Ohtani, that was gambling. So they're trying to protect Shohei, which, again, I understand. Nothing wrong with that. Makes sense. Especially if that's how it went.
Right.
But... as with all of these things, the only thing right now that would argue on the side of Ohtani is everybody's trust of him. Right? I mean, the fact that people see him as a good guy, I told Andrew this earlier, it doesn't really fit his character to be a guy that's gambling. Like, it's not his personality, maybe the better. I don't want to make it character because I don't want to make it good or bad. It doesn't seem to fit his personality.
Yeah.
Whereas an example... it fit Michael Jordan's personality.
Oh, yeah. That
he was widely known to gamble all the time on golf, on everything else. Yeah. So it doesn't really fit anything that we know about Ohtani. But, you know, again, trying to be balanced on this, Ohtani is also a guy that does a great job of making sure we don't know that much about him. He just got married. Nobody knew.
Yep.
Right? He doesn't allow anybody
in. Very private.
He only talks like twice a year to media. So like people don't know a lot about him.
How big a deal is this if he does end up having some culpability, even if it's just paying off the debts to be a nice guy, and Major League Baseball sanctions him?
I mean, it's a big deal no matter what. And
at this point, there's no way. But, it's not
and here's part of the problem is it's already a PR issue because there are already people all over the internet going, "Oh, sure, your interpreter had access to your money, and we're supposed to believe that that's just this guy, the fall guy, the lackey is going to be the one that takes the blame." And I can't blame people for thinking that.
Well, real quick, here's what I don't know: is his interpreter also serving as his manager, like his personal manager?
Because I'm aware of.
In that case, he could be handling money.
The interpreter, but I don't know. The interpreter is paid by the team to just interpret for him.
Well, the whole thing about, again, I'm giving maybe too much credence to this interpreter, but when he says, when his story is, we sat next to each other at his computer and did it. That's a very strange lie.
Well, and also he was asked, basically, why didn't he just give you the money? And the interpreter's answer was, because he didn't trust me with it. He thought I'd go gamble it.
Which makes sense.
So he wanted to do it himself so that it would actually be done.
Yeah.
Again, all of it makes the first story makes a lot of sense. And if that was the only story, this isn't a big deal. But when you throw on top of it the very quick change from he was helping a friend to the friend stole his money.
This whole thing is not good, but just the appearance of it right now seems like no baseball was bet on.
Right.
Which to me is it's the number one thing in all of this.
Yes.
As long as this sport he plays, his guy or him personally didn't gamble on it, then I'm okay, because that Black Sox scandal, like you said, almost killed baseball.
It did.
And that is the one thing. And we talk about steroids, PEDs, all this stuff. People were mad about it. That will never kill the sport.
Nope.
What will kill it is people watching it thinking players are throwing games.
Yep.
That's what would
and
kill the sport.
You know who played Shoeless Joe Jackson?
D.B. Sweeney.
D.B. Sweeney.
Who's going to join us in an hour and a half.
Pretty
weird. Yeah, for people that don't know, D.B. Sweeney is going to be a part of the
Puck
Blues
Cancer,
alumni.
Right?
Yeah, Puck Cancer Night. So, because he was in the movie Cutting Edge, where he was a hockey player that became, and he plays, like he's playing in the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
What an interesting timing.
He was Shoeless Joe.
He played Shoeless Joe. Wow. But like, I think in the end, the Ohtani thing is going to be not that big of a deal. But it has to be respected right now as a potential big deal, because we don't know what these, because they're going to be three investigations going on. If he was in any way tied to betting, it's going to be a problem. But again, Major League Baseball might have to punish him just for sending the money if they prove that he did that on his own.
And so, again, to make this clear, because people will try to draw the comparison with Pete Rose,
it's
this is not even close to being the same thing.
No.
Pete Rose was betting. We know it for sure on his own team.
Yeah. And Andrew asked a great question earlier. He's like, well, why is it a big deal if you're only betting for your team and not against your team because you're not throwing them?
Well, it's the days you don't bet against your team.
What does it tell the world when you're not betting on your team?
Correct.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Pete didn't put in a bet tonight.
Yeah.
Wonder why.
Before DGS, see that Elon's guinea pig was playing chess using only his mind?
The human
the
guinea
guy?
Pig.
Yes.
Yeah, the guy that did the Neuralink implant. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was doing that, and he was playing like Civilization 4 online, but just using the chip in his head.
Oh.
Did he
because
win?
He's quadriplegic, right? I think he's paralyzed from the shoulders down, and apparently, at least at this point, Neuralink is working.
We also, for the first time, harvested either a whole pig kidney or a part of a pig kidney and put it in a human, and it's working so far.
Huh.
It's a crazy world we live in, man.
Yeah. I mean, do you guys think, do you guys think that with AI and all the advancements that are coming, like, we're going to be growing organs, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, rather than taking them from people or from animals, I think that that's going to be a thing.
I know this sounds extreme, but I really think, like, this next decade is going to be, and I've told Phoebe this, I'm like, enjoy the next decade, because you will be living the last truly human life for a while.
Have you guys seen this? And I'm sure you have. This Open AI Figure One robot.
We were talking about it. We played some of the audio.
God. Yeah, the Apple. Yep.
Yeah, like where do you think this dish would go? Knowing what's on the, and it puts it in the drying rack.
And you know
it's
going to go from that to why do you think this human should survive?
That's
in like 18 months.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like one of those.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's also creepy though to me? Yes, the visual, but the voice was, it sounded like a human. It had ums and uhs in there, and
like
it was
thinking,
and it was smooth.
Yes.
It wasn't like, you know, some of the dumb AI stuff you hear.
We're all dead. It's the birds I know.